We're doing Mishlei. We're up to the second chapter, the 21st Pasuk, Perek Bet, Pasuk Chaf Aleph. I don't like using chapters, as you know. Chapters, other than in Tehillim, it's not a Jewish thing. The Christian monk divided the rest of Tanakh into chapters, and some of them are in contradiction with our tradition. But they do help us find the place. So at any rate, Shlomo HaMelech had discussed that the Torah protects us from a bad path. The Torah protects us from this foreign woman who speaks smoothly, whose house is a steep slide to death. We said that one understanding is that it's a woman that invites a man to commit adultery. That's a simple understanding. The deeper understanding is it's from philosophies that are in contradiction with the Torah. Shlomo HaMelech continues and says, Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Perek Bet, Pasuk Chaf Aleph. We had just said the Torah will keep us on the straight path. Leman Terech Baderech Tovim, Baruchot Tzadikim Tishmor, Ki, Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Ki Yesharim Yishkenu Aharetz. Because those that are straight, they will have an eternal existence on earth. You ever see someone live till eternity? That's obviously not what it means. So the simple understanding is it's talking about the world to come. People who are straight, they remain through the world to come. On a deeper level, we can say that when you lead a straight life, then you affect the world. You're a positive person. You help the world move forward. And the impact of the good that you do lives on after you die, as Shlomo HaMelech will say in other areas. Rashi says this is a reference to the world to come. We could also say, Yishkenu Aretz, they will remain on earth. It doesn't mean that they'll remain for eternity. It simply means they'll live out their days correctly. Utmimim Yivat Eruva, and those that are whole in their ways, they will remain on earth. They won't be cut off from the earth. There's going to be a time when the wicked will not. Ulsha'im me'eretz ikareitu. And the wicked, there will come a time when they will be cut off of the earth, which again, if it's talking about the world to come, so that's easy to understand. If it's talking about this world, so then means there are times when Hashem does bring retribution to the world and the wicked get cut off. Uvogedim yisechu mimena, and those who are bogedim, they are rebellious. They are not faithful to the honest ways of the Torah. They will find themselves uprooted from the earth, from life down below. And so Shlomo HaMelech is encouraging us, stick to the ways of the Torah, because this is your future. And it's not only about the world to come, it's also about this world. And remember what Shlomo said in the introduction to Mishlei, that all of his proverbs should be understood on the simple level and on the deeper level. So on the simple level, the Torah is also supposed to help us contend with the challenges of even a prostitute. That's what Shlomo HaMelech just said. Perek Gimel Pasuk Aleph. So we're up to what they call the third chapter, the first Pasuk. And Shlomo HaMelech says, Bini, my son, he's talking out of love. It's as though he's talking to the Jewish people as though they're all his children, the way the leaders often did. We find they spoke to the daughters of Israel as their own daughters. Ben Zion, you didn't get pizza?
No, I did.
Ah, okay, good for you. Okay. Bini, Torati al tishkach, umitzvotai yitzor libecha. My son, you who don't forget my Torah, umitzvotai, and my commandments, my mitzvos, yitzor libecha. Your heart should protect, should hold on to, should watch over. What is Torati? So we simply understand that Torati is my Torah, but the Targum translates Torati as Nimosi. Just as Al Titosh Torasi Mecho is talking about the customs of the mother, in the book of Mishlei, often the word Torah does not refer specifically to Torah, but to the customs of the Torah. And so Shlomo HaMelech says, don't forget my customs. Part of continuing the tradition is remembering. I call my father almost every Yom Tov just to remember the tunes. I'm not so good at remembering which tune is on which Yom Tov. So I've recorded them and lost the recordings, and recorded them again and lost the recordings again. So I got to upload them, and then maybe they'll have some permanence. Part of the customs is not allowing ourselves to forget. So what did your father do? Did he leave the cover on the challah when he said the blessing of Amotzi, like some opinions say, is preferable? Or did he take the cover off of the challahs and then make the blessing of Amotzi with accordance with other opinions? It's a small thing, but which way did you do? So I got married the first Shabbos, and I'm about to make the Amotzi, and I take off the cover. And then I remember, wait a second, Mishnah Berurah, it says, better you leave the cover on. And then I say, yeah, but didn't I see at home that my wife's sitting there waiting? I'm thinking, well, what am I supposed to do? Okay, Mishnah Berurah says, leave it on. Okay, I call my father and I say, did you leave the cover on or take the cover off when you did Amotzi? My father says, oh, I took the cover off and then I made the Amotzi. I said, and is that what your father did? I don't remember. Okay, my father explained to me the halachic reasoning why he felt that was more correct. And then I said, okay, but if I don't know if that's my family's minhag, I don't know. 7 years later, I had a Yekish guest, and as I'm making the Amotzi, they said, after the Amotzi, they said, you leave the cover on when you make Amotzi? Don't you know the Yekish minhag is take it off? I said, oh, that's Yekish minhag. Okay, fine. And ever since then, I take it off, and then I make the Amotzi. Small thing, not a big thing, right? What's the difference? Both sides have their strength in halacha, but a big part of Judaism is maintaining your minhag, sticking to what do you do at home. And we don't always know the depths of the minhagim. We don't always understand what's behind the minhag. There's a famous story about the Ramah, Rav Moshe Isserles, rabbi in Krakow. When he became rabbi of the community, comes into shul one weekday morning, and the gabbai walks over to someone and says, Mazel Tov Chaim. So after davening, the rabbi asked the gabbai, why'd you tell Chaim Mazel Tov? So the gabbai said, So the rabbi said, what do you mean? I heard you tell Mazel Tov. What'd you tell Mazel Tov for? So the gabbai says, okay, you're the rabbi. I'll tell you, you know, in this town we have a custom. My wife is in charge of the mikveh, the ladies' mikveh. And whoever's wife goes to mikveh the night before, I go over to the following morning and I tell him, Mazel Tov. The rabbi says, what? You know, there's a prohibition about anyone knowing, you know. It's from the Gaonic period, but it's considered immodest that anyone should know when a woman goes to mikveh. What do you mean? You go every morning? I'm telling you, stop the minhag, okay? This minhag is stopping here in Krakow here and now. The gabbai says, Rabbi, this is an ancient minhag. Ramon says, yeah, but you know, this isn't the minhag you should continue. Fine, they stop the minhag. A few days later, the Ramon is standing and here's the gabbai. Someone walks over to him and says, you didn't come and tell me Mazel Tov this morning. So the gabbai said, listen, Shmuel, the rabbi told me to stop with this minhag. But my wife, you know, it's hard to convince her. So every night she tells me who went and who didn't go. Your wife didn't go to mikveh last night. When the Rama heard that, he understood that the minhag over there, they started this minhag because it was so freezing cold in Krakow, they'd sometimes have to break the ice to go down to mikveh. And the water was freezing. And so there was a great temptation by the women to tell their husbands I went and really go and do something else for those 2-3 hours. And so someone, somewhere along the lines, a few hundred years earlier, realized that there has to be another way of ensuring that the women really went to mikveh. Ordinarily, a husband can trust his wife. She says, she went. But over there, there was a much bigger temptation not to go because it was freezing cold. You go dunk in a freezing cold, you know. So, yes, it's a biblical prohibition, but not everyone is on the level where that's going to get them to go dunk in freezing cold water. And so the story goes, I don't know if this story being recorded in writing anywhere, but the story goes that the Rama went back to the Gabbai and said, start the minhag again. And that changed, they say, that taught the Rama something about minhagim. So when we see minhagim, we don't always understand why. And people like to say funny stories about minhagim. There's the famous story about the Hasidim who had a dance where they'd all go in a circle, and when they'd reach a point in the circle, everyone would duck. And everyone would come to that point and duck. So someone did research about the minhag, and it turns out in the Rebbe's house, there was a pipe there. So everyone would reach there, would duck, right? So everyone likes to tell these funny stories about minhagim. But the truth is that one of the things that Shlomo HaMelech keeps telling us is, Torati al tishkach. In Torah, in Mishle, is very often not talking about Torah, but rather it's talking about the way of life, the customs. And the customs have great weight in our tradition. There are people who take it to extremes, but we have to know that there's a lot to it. There's a reason why every normal Jewish house has a white tablecloth on Shabbos. So people say, show me in Halacha, where does it say you need a white tablecloth? You're right, I can't find it in Halacha. But there's a reason behind it, and we have to try to maintain traditional homes. Traditional homes includes everything that regular homes have. And someone once tried to encourage me to start a community for Machon Meir. I said, I don't think it's right. The Machon Meir guys have to be integrated in other communities. See the customs of people around you. Don't go living where there are another 50 Machon Meir families where everyone's like one big Machon Meir. No, you got to learn what's the norm out there. Not what people who don't have a tradition. You got to find a tradition. And that's why we always encourage you, join... Take the customs of a specific kehillah. Don't say, well, I like to do this like the Sephardim and that like the Ashkenazim and this like the Taimanim. I don't care if you eat jachnun and you like it together with peanut butter spread. I don't care. You know, that's not what I'm talking about. But at the end of the day, a big part of it is nimusai. Not only Torah as in Torah, but also as in minagim. Yeah.
This is related to Torah and Mecha?
Yes. But over here you see that Torah is not only in that pasuk, not only there is Torah a reference to Minhag, in other places in Mishlei too. No. No. Look at Targum throughout the Tanakh and then you tell me. B'ni Torati al tishkach u'mitzvotai yitzor libecha. Shlomo HaMelech says, maintain my customs, maintain my Torah, and stick to my mitzvot, stick to what I've commanded you. Ki orech yamim ushnot chayim v'shalom yosifu lach. Ki orech yamim, for long years, ushnot chayim, and years of life, v'shalom, and peace, yosifu lach, they will add to you. And if you look at the Pasuk is telling us a lot of things that the Torah gives us. One of the Gera Rebbes died young, and when the children came home to sit Shiva, so one said to the other, our father had Ore Arichut Yamim. So he said, what do you mean he died young? What do you mean he had Arichut Yamim, long days? He said, I didn't say Arichut Shanim, I didn't say he had long years, I said he had Arichut Yamim, long days. His days were packed. I didn't say he had many years. I said he had long days. So Shlomo HaMelech says, you keep the Torah, you maintain the mitzvos, it gives you long days. Your days are packed. Ushnot chayim, and years of life. You know, a person can be living and his life is not life. Chazal say, there are different types of lives that are led. Chayehem einam chayim. That the life they lead is not a life. Chazal say a person who spends his life being sustained by someone else. A person who is mitzapel shulchan acherim. If his whole life is waiting to get someone else's kickback or someone else's favors, it's chayim enam chayim. If a person leads his whole life and he has a miserable boss, and all the time he has someone who's telling him what to do and breathing down his back, Chazal say there can be many instances where you're living, you have a pulse, yeah, you're married, you have kids, you're part of society, but life is not life. And so Shlomo HaMelech says, Torah is supposed to train us to have long days, years of life, that's about living, v'shalom, and peace. And peace is on many levels. You know, are we at peace with ourselves? We could always work on that. Peace with our neighbor, peace with our spouse, peace with our kids, peace with our parents. There are levels of peace. We always think about peace, you know, flatilo, how do you pronounce it, right? Peace begins elsewhere. Yosifulach, they will add to you. Now on a deeper level, obviously this means it's meritorious. You do Torah, you do mitzvot, then in heavens you have more merits to merit this. Chesed ve'emet al ya'azvucha. Chesed ve'emet. And we discussed many times the Chafetz Chaim about the balance where Shlomo HaMelech and he's going in the ways of the Torah, that balance between kindness and truth, and that sometimes we think they're contradictory and it's quite the opposite. They're actually supplementary. They're not contradictory. They work hand in hand. You can't have one without the other. Truth really has room for kindness, and kindness is really within the realm of truth. It's we don't always know how to apply kindness within the realm of truth. That's the whole thing we learned from the Chafetz Chaim. But even if we don't want to apply the Chafetz Chaim here, there are balance that every person has to maintain. Chesed ve'emet. What did Shammai tell us in the first chapter of Pirkei Avot? Shammai Omer. Shammai, we all know Shammai, right? The tough one. Din, right? Truth. What does Shammai say? What does the Mishnah say in Pirkei Avos? Guys, if you don't know, open up. No, tell me. What does Shammai say? Perek Aleph, it's not too hard. Shammai Omer. Yeah, what does it say, Bezalel?
It says, make your study of Torah a regular activity from as little but too much in a receivable manner with a kindly conscience.
Shammai Yomer in Hebrew, Asei Torah Chakeva, your Torah has to be with permanence. Emo mat vaser be, speak little and do a lot. Ve'evim kabel et kol adam b'sever panim yafot. Greet everyone with a warm countenance. Shammai? Greet everyone with a warm countenance? Yes. Emet is not contradictory of chesed. Emet is encompassing of chesed. And notice the wording. Shlomo HaMelech says, chesed ve'emet al yazvucha. Don't let them ever leave you. That means that every moment a person has to think about these two concepts. They're both concepts of life. Can I do more chesed now? Can I be more truthful now? Truth is Torah. Truth is God's signature. You know, Emet is the first letter of the Aleph Beis. That's Aleph. The last letter of the Aleph Beis is Tav. And in the middle is Mem. That's Hashem's signature. Emet. Different notes came down from heaven at different times signed Emet. You know, Baruch Sha'amar is a prayer we got down from heaven. The men of the Great Assembly got a note with Baruch Sha'amar. It's a blessing we got from heaven. And that's signed Emet. Okay, whatever. What? I can't explain it because I don't know. I don't know. Chesed ve'emet al yazvucha. Kindness, doing good, and truth should never leave you. Koshrim al galgeroteicha. Tie them to your throat. Galgerotecha is the windpipe. The windpipe has is many tubes really attached together. It's got like many tubes attached together, and that's why it's referred to in multiple. Galgerot, multiple. Kane, the veshet, the food pipe, is one slick pipe. All the food goes down there. The windpipe, through where we talk, if you feel in your own throat, you'll feel. In animals, it's more... you could see it more clearly. But by us, you could also feel it. By, on the top, it's covered. As you go down, you feel it's really tubes that are attached. You guys know what I'm talking about? You guys ever see the lungs going out into the windpipe? Okay. I got to get you a picture. Okay. At any rate, that's why it's referred to in multiple sense. It's referred to as gagirotecha. And so Shlomo HaMelech says, tie it onto your throat. He's referring to the whole throat as gagirotecha, but really gagirotecha is the windpipe. It's where we talk. And we can say that the throat is a reference to how we eat. The throat is a reference to how we talk. Shlomo HaMelech says, tie these concepts around your throat. The concept of kindness and truth, which can be an application of how we eat and how we talk. Kotvei maluach libecha. Write them on the blackboard of your heart. You have a board on your heart? Obviously, it's metaphorical. Shlomo HaMelech says, write it on your heart. So that's the way we feel. So there was a fantastic story. Fantastic story. I'm just trying to think which details to change. There was a couple that was on the brink of divorce. So the guy calls me up one day. He says, I'm lying in bed sick. And I can't even move. And my wife, her mother says she needs her help. So she's going to her mother's house now. And she offered me to come along. I can't budge. And who's going to help me if I'm here in bed? And I asked her, you know, do you really think this is fair? And she said to me, you're fine. You're just a crybaby. You're just, and she said to me, you know what? There's a doctor there. Why don't I take you to the doctor if you feel so bad? You know, my mother will drop you off by the doctor. What's the big deal? We'll take you there. But why should I have to leave bed? You know, I'm sick. So I said to him, you know, there's chesed ve'emet. So let's make believe right now that the emet is with you. But marriage is about chesed ve'emet, not just emet. So out of kindness to her, go with her, because you shouldn't be alone at home. You're right. Halacha says you never leave a sick person alone. So halacha in Hilchos Bikur Cholim. Halacha says there are halachas of mourning, there are halachas of how you deal with the dead, but before all that, there are halachas of how you deal with the sick. So one of the halachas of how you deal with the sick is you don't leave a sick person alone. So it's halacha of Bikur Cholim. So he's telling me he's not sure how serious his illness is. I told him, don't you think you should be seen by a doctor? He says, I'm going to give it one more day. I said, wait a second. She's saying she's leaving you. So I didn't tell him my equation. But my equation was he really shouldn't be left alone. So I said, out of chesed to her, go with her. So you'll do chesed. You know, it's a little bit hard. Go with her. And think in your mind, okay, you're not doing it. You're doing chesed. And if you're going already, go to a doctor. Why should you go tomorrow? You'll have to schlep out. Here you have a ride. Someone else is driving you. Everything's okay. They'll take you to a doctor. You'll be seen by a doctor. He didn't end up by a doctor. He ended up in the hospital. And it ended up that saved his life. So when I visited him in the hospital, I asked him, did you ever think to thank your wife? She saved your life. Had he waited another day, he wouldn't have been here. So when I visited him in the hospital, I asked him, did you think about it? Like, think about it. Think about where it was. So we could have looked back and said, what a bum. Here he is. He could have croaked on her. She could have come home and found him dead. And she was ready to leave him. But I don't think that's the way he should have looked at it. And he didn't. Baruch Hashem, he didn't look at it that way. Chesed ve'emet aliyah zvucha. So he went with her doing her a favor. He said, okay, I'll go with her. I said for him to go because I didn't want him to stay alone. I was like, if she's willing to leave him alone, he shouldn't stay alone. Fine, go. Someone should see what's happening. They're not going to let him die. And ever since then, their marriage got better. He saw her as she saved him. And he saw that when he treated her out of chesed, then his life was saved and he was different. And their marriage took a different turn. Suddenly things looked different. But it began with a change in outlook. Chesed ve'emet. I told him, chesed ve'emet. You can't talk only emet in marriage. Okay, maybe you're right. He started quoting Me'alacha this day. I said, okay, you're right, fine. Okay, you're right, right. She shouldn't leave you, fine. But she is. She's going to her mother. And I didn't want to tell him, quite honestly. I don't know that you wouldn't do the same if the situation were reversed. You don't tell that to a person, right? But at the end of the day, that was a turning point. Suddenly she saved his life. But it began with his looking at her with chesed ve'emet, not just with emet. So Shlomo Amar says, that's always, and that should be kotvim aluach libecha. That's how we got here. It's about what's in our heart also. How do we view things? It's not just about what we say and theoretically the kindness we do to everyone outside. It's also about how we view things. He had a choice afterwards how he could view it. He could have looked back and said, she could have killed me. But he didn't. It's a choice. It's a choice of how we write it on our heart also. Kotve maluach libecha. Umtzachin. Besechel tov. Beine Elohim. Be'adam. Shlomo HaMelech says, guys, I just want to tell you, I just feel it's a little dishonest. All the stories I tell you are true, some just haven't happened yet, okay? Umtzachen v'sechel tov. Shlomo HaMelech says a very important line, and if you go in this balance of kindness and truth, then you will find favor and wisdom in the eyes of God and man. Umtzachen v'sechel tov. Favor and people will also find you to be intelligent. By the way, that wasn't my line. Rabbi Wein taught me that line. Rabbi Wein was my Rosh Yeshiva in high school. He used to say that line. But all the stories are true, they just haven't happened yet. This pasuk, Umtzachen v'sechel tov b'nei Elokim v'adam, is the source of halacha. We say that it's not enough that what we do is within the confines of halacha. We also have to do it in a way that people won't think we're doing something wrong. Meaning, if I'm going to have to drive a car on Shabbos, and I'm a doctor, so I should wear my doctor's white gown or whatever it is, so people see that I'm on call. I shouldn't. No one should die because of that. You know, if you get a call and you have to run out and you're an Hatzalah member, so you run out, you do what you have to do. But if you're a doctor who's driving every Shabbos because you have to drive every Shabbos, so then you could prepare your stuff and you could have a license plate that says MD or whatever it takes. So Chazal said, this pasuk teaches us a concept that we apply in many places. And that is, don't do things that look bad. Like Chazal said, halchek min hachiyur min adomelo. Distance yourself from that which is disgusting and also that which seems disgusting. We once had a student here who worked in a laboratory. So he took a cup filled with apple juice and he went into the lab. You know, he had a sample cup, you know, those sample cups that they give people for urine samples. So he puts in apple juice, dilutes it, and he says, guys, I have to have this tested. I have a patient that's on the verge of dying. Can you guys test this within the next 2 minutes? And they say, we're really busy. And he says, guys, I really have to know the acid content. If you're not going to give me an answer, I'm going to check it myself. And he takes a sip and he says, okay, he's okay. Never mind, guys. It's okay. So he was, he was an amazing guy. I wish he'd be back here. But that's the type of thing where Chazal say, you know, umtzachen v'sechel tov. Don't do things that look disgusting either. You know, pasuk hey, betachel Adonai bechol libecha ve'el binatcha al tisha'en. Shlomo HaMelech says, betachel Hashem bechol libecha. Have faith in Hashem with all of your heart. Ve'el binatcha al tisha'en, and don't rely on your own understanding alone. Very often people think they will definitely succeed. Probably the best rule in business, a businessman, I don't know if it's his own rule, once said, the best deal in business is a deal you can get out of quickly. And every time you enter a business deal, anytime you enter any business, you think you're going to be successful. Everyone thought they'd be successful. And sometimes you're right and sometimes you're wrong. So there was once a businessman who said, you can gauge a deal how good it is. The gauge is how fast can you get out of it. The fact that you think you'll make money, everyone always thinks they'll make money. And this is a very tricky balance. We spent many classes discussing this balance. It is one of the major themes of Rabbi Yeshua ibn Shu'ib, the disciple of the Rashba. This balance of, on the one hand, we have to do ishtadlus. Life is about doing what we have to do. On the other hand, we have to recognize that Hashem is running the show. Very often, a person gets a hot tip and he figures he's going to put all his money into that tip because now he's gonna make a mint in the stock market. No. A person should never rely on his own intellect. Chazal said, divide your assets. A third in cash, a third in investments, a third in property. Divide. You never know. But these properties are going to skyrocket. Never. You never put your whole investment in one place. Very often people tell me, I have this great tip and it can make a mint and I'm going to put all my money into it. Wrong. Never. Never, never, never. Never rely on your own understanding. On the one hand, we have to do ishtadlus. On the other hand, we have to know the limitations of our ishtadlus. We have to know that if Hashem wants to make me wealthy, He'll make it happen wherever it has to happen. I have to do my ishtadlus, but I also have to know the limitations of my ishtadlus. I'm limited. And so I always say, there was a guy once who spoke to me about the stock market, and he'd always come to me with this great idea where he's going to make a mint. And I'd always say, how much money are you investing in the stock market? Whatever it is, in this idea, only 20%. And he'd always say, why? But if I can make this much on 20%, I can make five times that if I invest everything. And I always said the same thing. 20% is what you can risk, right? It gives you four more opportunities for great ideas. There will be other great ideas. So if this is really a great idea, I don't know. If it is, it isn't, fine. But if it is, so then don't invest more than 20%. Give yourself at least four more chances. You know, at least one of them hopefully will work, right? Maybe. He didn't listen. Yeah. But this is a hard balance. I understand him. It's a very tough temptation. When you think you can make X and you can make five times that, you don't want to do it. It's very, very hard. He'd always tell me, but what do you mean? This is such an opportunity. And if I only invest 20%, you know, 20% is nothing. What will I make? $150? $250? What? Here I can make $1,000. I'd always say, slow and steady. No. If you made 150 or 250, I'm happy. But you only lost 150 or 250 or whatever it is. 20%. I don't know. I'm not saying, guys, I don't know finance. I'm not telling you how to invest. If a guy is coming and telling me he's going to invest 100%, then I say 20%. I don't know about diversification and what to do with your money. Don't come to me. But when you're going to come to me and tell me you're going to invest 100%, then I'll tell you 20%. Pasuk Vav, Bechol derachecha da'ehu vehu yiyasher orchotecha. Shlomo HaMelech says, Bechol derachecha, in all of your ways, in everything you do, the Eyu no Hashem. Hey. Yeah. There were many women from the generation of the Holocaust that used to tell me this pasuk. The first was my grandmother. But I heard it later from her friends. And they'd see me studying and they'd say, I don't know why they'd feel compelled to say, because I was just respectful of them. I never challenged them. I'd had and I still have the utmost respect for them. But they'd tell me this line. They'd say, you think that the only way to know God is through the books. You should know that we are with God in everything we do in our lives. We talk to Him all the time. And I heard this line over and over again from that generation, and it took me time to understand it. Shlomo HaMelech says, Bechol derachecha, in everything you do, da'eyu. Know Hashem, connect with Hashem. And we have to recognize that in every job we do, there is the capacity to connect Hashem to what we do. There is the capacity to have Hashem in our lives in everything we do. It's up to us. Sometimes we apply this incorrectly. About 15 years ago, I guess a little bit less, maybe 12 years ago, I was contending with the army. I needed some papers for them to file so that I could remain in the country legally. Okay, it's a pretty standard story. So from the first day I was here, I needed those papers, and I had 4 months to get those papers. So I contacted them, they said they'd send it, and of course it never came. And 3 weeks later I contacted them, they said they'd send it, and of course it never came. And now I'm down to 2 months left. So now I'm getting a little antsy. So I'm contacting them daily, and they stop answering my calls. I don't know if they have caller ID or not, but somehow when it became daily, I didn't get answered. I'm down to 6 weeks before the deadline, and I'm calling them, and they say, sure, it's okay, we'll get it, you'll get it, the guy who needs to sign it isn't here, he'll be here, he was here. You know how it goes. Call in the afternoon. In the afternoon, they don't answer the phone. Call in the morning. In the morning, he's not here. You call in the morning. They say, call again in the afternoon. You say, but yesterday, he told me that no one answers in the afternoon. Okay, they're giving you the runaround. And fine. I'm down to 2 weeks left. I call up the Army's office and I say, look, I have 2 weeks left. And in 2 weeks, I'm no longer legal here. I'm not going to stay here illegally and then wait and find out what you'll do. I'm not going to do that. So I've been chasing you for 3.5 months, and now this is where it's holding. If I get an answer from you within the next week, I'm staying, and if not, I'm not waiting till the last day. I'm leaving next week. I have 1 week, and I'm going to buy a ticket and leave. So I need you to help me. And I got a very nice girl on the phone, and she said, I'm going to help you. And I said, I appreciate it. And she said, here's my number. And you call me tomorrow, and I'm going to get the officer who has to sign your papers, and we're going to get it done either today or tomorrow. Okay? I call her the next day. She says, he's in meetings. Call in the afternoon. I'm saying, okay, we'll see. You know, she said, she remembered me. I call in the afternoon. She says, we're going to get it signed. He's here. We're going to get it. Fine. She gets it signed. Okay. So I had such appreciation. She just saved me $1,000. You know, she, thanks to her, I was able to stay, and I was able to work things out. I'm still here today, and I don't know if I would be here today if not for thanks to her. So I get the papers, and I call her back, and I say, you know, you made a huge difference for me, and I want to send you something. Could you just give me an address I could send it to? She gives me an address, and then I call one of my rabbis, and I said, you know, I'm thinking, what can I send the girl? You know, I'm not going to say, you know, I don't want to send the wrong message. What am I supposed to send her? I said, you know, maybe I'll send her a nice set of candlesticks for Shabbos with a nice letter explaining the meaning of candles for Shabbos and what it all means. And I was thinking, you know, you kill two birds with one stone. At least you show her appreciation, and at the same time, you expose her to something nice about Judaism. So my rabbi said, no, you're confusing two different things here. Your job here is to show her appreciation. She did you a favor. Don't try to stick through the back door another thing that who knows how she'll view it. Maybe she'll view it nicely, maybe she'll view it not nicely. You owe her something. She did you a big favor, right? She could have been like everyone else. You get a nice pen and pencil set or a nice stationery set. Get something that's totally innocent. And you show her your appreciation with that. Don't try to do any shenanigans here. You have one mitzvah here, and that is to show Akar Sato. And you have to shock our stove. Don't confuse it with something else and risk losing what's your first responsibility, which is to shock our stove. So when we speak about Bechol Derechecha De'ehu, to know Hashem in every way we go, we have to know to apply that correctly and not to misapply that. Sometimes we misapply that. We think, this is a good way to kill two birds with one stone. No. We have to know where to apply it correctly. Bechol derechecha de'ehu means in everything we do, we should know Hashem. So how do we apply that? So you guys heard of Rav Salant, who I got her pen and pencil set. I went to Kol Boronit over here. I got a nice pen and pencil. What can I get? I don't know. You guys heard of Rav Salant? Rav Salant was head of the Musar movement. So, in the Zohar, there's a Midrash that says that Mesushelach, I think it was Mesushelach, used to be a shoesmith. He used to fix sandals. He used to sew people's sandals to fix them. And every time he sewed someone's sandal, with every stitch, he'd have, the Zohar says, tons of kavanot, thousands of thoughts would run through his mind in honor of God as he's sewing people's sandals. So Rav Salant, who was head of the Musar movement, he once asked, what kavanot, what angels are there to put into someone's sandals? You know, you're living before the Torah, he's sewing sandals, what kavanot exactly is he supposed to have? So he said the idea is as follows. When you're sewing, you're fixing someone's sandals, so there's a certain talent to fixing it right. If you sew it too tight, then when he runs, he's going to tear the knots you make. If you sew it too loose, then it's not going to be a correct fit. So there's a talent with each knot to make it exactly right, not too tight and not too loose, to make it that it will last for as long a time as it possibly can and serve him correctly. That's the kavanot he had. Because when you're stitching someone's sandals, your job is to do 100% the best possible job. So his mind was, God, I know you want me to do the best possible job for this guy. So now I'm going to do my best to do the best I can here. So I could be the best possible cleaner if I'm getting a cleaning job. I could be the best possible teacher if I'm a teacher. I could be the best possible son. I could be the best possible at everything I do. And I could infuse God in my life when I do that. And I could say, Ribbono Shel, I know that right now this is what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm going to do it as best as I can. That's one way of Bechol Derechecha Deyu. And everything you do, know Him. God, there's a response in the Igros Moshe. Moshe Feinstein was questioned about whether they should have secular studies in the schools. So part of the things he writes there, he says, and one thing I'm going to tell you is that if you do put it in, make sure it's good. The students who do learn secular studies, make sure they excel, because part of a Torah lifestyle is that what you do well. And if you're going to train your kids, in the morning they learn Torah, and that they do well. And in the afternoon they do secular studies, and that, who cares, they could get 50s. Then you're hurting their Torah studies too, because part of doing things right is that whatever you do, you do right. So Bechol Derechecha Deyu, that's one level. But there are other levels. There are ways of infusing God in everything we do. There are holier ways of infusing God in everything we do. Ways of, there's a custom that people, whatever new object they get, the first thing they do with it, they try to do a mitzvah. So if you get a new car, after you make your shechiyonu, or if you're married, a tova meitiv, if you're going to let your wife use your car, right? I'm joking. Of course your wife's going to use your car. It's both of your car, I assume. It's not your car. It's a family car. So, Chatov Ametiv. So then, right afterwards, you could think, well, what's the first mitzvah I could do with this car? It's a frame of mind. Bechol derechecha de'eyu. In everything I do, I know Hashem. And then Hashem helps a person's paths be straight. Hashem helps us stay on the right path. And then it's like a partnership, you know. There was once a tailor who couldn't get his business off the ground. So he said, God, I'll make a partnership with you. And he started the branch, Lord and Tailor. Really? Nice. Okay. Each pasuk here is so loaded, we just can't continue. I want to hit pasuk yod, but these psukim, as you see, there's a lot more to say on each one. Okay, we'll have to pause here for tonight.